And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. I'm going to share a little bit about myself so you can understand the purpose of this show. I was born and raised in the heart of downtown. I'm a sixth generation Tucsonan. I graduated from Tucson High School. I'm also a first generation college graduate of the University of Arizona. My overall media career spans over 25 years. I was a reporter and anchor at KGO9 On Your Side for many of those years. My goal is to tell stories of success by giving voice to Hispanics and bringing diversity into the conversation. I want to also talk local politics, music, food, art, and culture, and share those stories through the lens of how Hispanics see everyday life in Tucson. With that said, my guest today is Edmond Marcus. I want to share his life story, so hopefully you can learn from his success and use some of his advice as motivation to maximize your own career options in life. Here's a snapshot of his resume. Edmond owns 4 Allstate agencies in Tucson. He's the largest captive insurance agency in Southern Arizona and one of the largest Hispanic-owned Allstate agency groups in the U.S. Edmond was born and raised in Tucson, attended Sabino High School, Pima Community College. He then earned a bachelor's in communications from the University of Arizona. He currently serves on 6 boards of directors, including the Rio Nuevo Multipurpose Facilities District. He's also the chairman of the board of United Way. Edmond also MCs numerous community events. And without further ado,
Edmond, my brother, welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you. I call you Nunez. Just for Nunez. All you listeners out there, Nunez.
And I should mention, we go way back. We've been friends for many, many years. We've had so many good times. Obviously, not just work and going to meetings and board meetings, but outside of work and outside of that environment where we're at U of A football games having fun, you know,
Yes. And
going out to eat. And all we do is laugh. So
exactly.
I want to preface all of this with that because I think over the years we've had some great times as well as some heated moment times when we're in boardrooms and hashing things out, and it's about business, not a personal, right?
Exactly. We do. We go back years and years, and gosh, I think when I think of you, I think about a huge Wildcat fan. So obviously a massive fan for the U of A, same as me. We go back in years. We go back decades, back to the days I would buy radio from you when I had a car dealership. It started out as my independent dealership, which was called All-Star Auto Exchange. Life's too short. Drive what you want. I haven't said that in years. And then it parlayed into my Suzuki dealership, which you did a great job of really guiding me with what media to buy to put the message out there. It was the first Mexican-American owned new car dealership in the history of Tucson. And it was the first ever on the south side of town, which was exciting.
I was so proud of you when you opened the dealership and so heartbroken when it closed. But focusing on the positives, at least you did it. You got there. You made it. And
Yeah. That
was one of your big goals. And it was awesome because we did make a big difference. I should say you made a big difference in Hispanics buying vehicles, brand new vehicles.
It was a ton of fun, and the South Side really embraced it at the time. And, you know, I think when I got out of it, I'll give you just a tidbit of info that you probably already know part of. Are you born and raised here?
Sixth generation, bro, Chacho.
I knew it. So I'm born and raised as well, so 2 Tucsonans. And so I went to Sabino High School, then I went to Pima, then I made it to the U of A, and I was just chomping at the bit. If you've ever read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, not saying my dad was poor. We were a middle-class family growing up, but I just was around kids in which they had parents on the I was on the east side of town, and these parents were so successful. I always wondered why don't we have that? Why haven't we accomplished that? You know, what's next? And probably like you, I had a tata, my papalico, we called him. My papalico would always say, "Mijito, it is your responsibility to outperform the previous generations." He said, "Your dad had to outperform me, and now you have to outperform your dad." And that's how I was raised. And so, gosh, you know, as a young guy getting out of U of A, I was super aggressive. I just wanted to make something of myself. I wanted to be in the world. I wasn't one of those students that had amazing grades. I had like a 2.3 grade point average out of Sabino. I did not get into U of A. All my friends were going to U of A. I went to Pima. Thank God for Pima. I love Pima. Then went to the U of A. But getting out of U of A, gosh, I opened up an Allstate insurance agency at age 22. and then did really well with Allstate, picked up 30 car dealerships. Anytime they needed insurance, anytime day or night, they would page me back in the day of pagers. And I would call them on my big clunky cell phone with my really slow laptop, and I would do the policies for them. I became the number two auto producer in the country for Allstate at age 23. Used those funds, which parlayed me into meeting you. I was able to buy a car dealership, which was a small independent at the time. And then with my sister, invested in 3 Chevron gas stations, an Arco AM/PM gas station, and then had to learn how to read a profit and loss statement. And for those of you that can or cannot read them, obviously your profits at the top, your expenses are in the middle, and your kind of net profits at the bottom. And I had to learn kind of where my money was going. And I saw that I was spending a ton of money on automotive repair, discounts, quote unquote, with the bank, and also with my warranties. So what I didn't know was called vertical integration. I went and bought the property across the street, opened up my own service department, started my own finance company with some of my money, just so I could finance deals. So I didn't have to pay these huge discounts to the banks, and then opened up an offshore warranty company and Gap company, and that grew, and that's what became Suzuki, and that's when I met you, as we were starting to do TV commercials and radio commercials together.
What was the biggest motivator that nurtured your dreams that inspired you to want to achieve success? Because we'll get into the generational upward mobility in a bit, but I want to know, what was it when you were a child that said, you know what, this is what I need to do to make it?
I think as a young Latino, I was challenged, and I was challenged by each side of the family. It was my mom's mom on her side. It was my dad's side on his side, and they would challenge me. My grandma was one of those nanas that you'd see that have their chin held high, and there's just pride for the family. She had so much pride, just even from the way that she stood up straight, and you know, her back was straight, her chin was high, and she just had so much pride for our family. And then my tata, my Papalico, he was so he was so entrepreneurial. I mean, the guy in Clifton and Morenci, Arizona, if there's any Clifton Trojans out there, my grandpa ended up getting banned from working in the mines because he was helping start the union, believe it or not. And so my grandpa, since he couldn't work in the mines, he opened up a barber shop, a tortilla factory, a Mexican restaurant, even had a pig farm. He had a turquoise jewelry shop. He had a vacuum cleaner store for Kirby vacuum cleaners, and he also had an insurance agency. And so my grandpa would challenge me. And my sister, for those of you who might recognize my last name, Leah Marquez Peterson, is my sister who ran for Congress and has now been appointed by Governor Ducey for the Arizona Corporation Commission. But he would challenge her. I mean, challenge is a nice way to put it. He would talk smack to her. Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to be barefoot in the kitchen? Are you going to go out there and get a college education? Are you just going to be worthless? Or are you going to go make something of yourself? And he would just challenge us so much. And I think the difference between the pride for my grandma and being pushed so much for my tata, it makes you take a step back. And any of you that are listening that are young or really wanted to do more with your life, it's important to take a step back and be introspective and kind of look at and evaluate yourself. I'm the toughest critic on me of anybody. I chew myself out worse than I ever chew out anybody because we have expectations. And I think my grandparents helped me take a step back so I could think, what am I doing in life? Where am I going? What am I accomplishing? What will life be like for me? And I learned, and actually I said it in a video that you created, Mr. Nunez, when I got Businessman of the Year for the Hispanic Chamber. I said, you are on this planet. We are on this planet for a very short time. We're gone before you know it. So you got to make the most of it. And I think my perspective is to this very day at age 46, I'm here very quickly. And so I want to make sure I have the best ride possible. I want to have an amazing life. And I'm blessed that most of my friends are in their 60s and 70s. And so you kind of get to see, based on the decisions they've made over the decades, where they've ended up in their 60s or their 70s, whether it's financially, whether it's the relationship with their children, whether it's what they've done physically or mentally, whether they've abused their body with alcohol or abused it with smoking, or whether they've, you know, I'm lucky enough to be around Jim Click, one of my close friends, whether he wakes up and works out every morning. And at age 76, he's stronger than most 46-year-olds. It just depends on what decisions you've made over your life. And I'm just very cognizant of the decisions I make based on even the sentence my mom made me say almost every day of my childhood, which is, life is choices and choices are consequences. I had to say that like every day. She'd say, life is, and you'd say, life is choices, choices are consequences. So I just realize the decisions I make every single day add up, and they add up to the life that I'm now living. And as long as I'm making good decisions, I can live a good life. And that really is what drove us. It's what drives my sister, who I was with earlier today. I mean, that girl's driven. So yeah, it's kind of what our childhood created for us.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Edmond Marquez. More advice and wisdom on how to rebuild, reinvent, and recapture your true, genuine self to achieve even higher success. Tucson's Hispanic Voices. A special thank you to our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. HT Metals, growing our community by growing your business. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights. And theme music for Tucson's Hispanic Voices, composed by native Tucsonan Gabriel F. Romo.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back.
The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood believes in being a strong advocate for the constitutional rights of the criminally accused. Attorney Haywood speaks for those who can't speak for themselves in both the state and federal systems in Arizona. Successfully defending clients and helping people achieve justice is what the Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood fights for. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney. She's an advocate for human rights, and she speaks Spanish fluently. Call the Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood at 792-0722. At HT Metals, customer service, striving for excellence in delivering quality materials and products, and employee pride serve as our three core values. Owner Carlos Ruiz is a sixth-generation Tucsonan, invested in growing our community by growing your business.
HT Metals, Tucson's only distributor of custom-cut raw material, from stainless steel to aluminum to hot-rolled steel. Since 2003, we've experienced tremendous growth by increasing capacity and attracting customers in the aerospace, medical, and electronic industries. Our two water jet machining systems further help us diversify our clientele.
HT Metals, locally owned and operated. We take pride in our community. Call 807-6157 to learn how we can help your business thrive.
Replacing your brakes can cost nearly $1,000 over the life of your vehicle. Or you buy it once and roll it into the Total Car Care Guaranteed for Life program, and that's it. Forever. Seriously, buy it once and never purchase it again. Offered exclusively at MPG Tire and Auto. See program rules for details. This car care tip is brought to you by MPG Tire and Auto. Your vehicle's brake pads are the most important part for stopping your vehicle. The average lifespan of your vehicle's brake pads is between 2 to 3 years. Stop by any MPG Tire and Auto location and have your brakes inspected for free today.
It's Eye on the Ball with a new voice in sports talk here on 1030 The Voice.
That's right. My old pal Jay Gonzalez is joining the show to bring some great storytelling every weekday from 6 to 7 p.m. Jay, I know you'll also bring some great guests with your history in sports here in Tucson.
I think so, Steve. I'm a Tucson native. I played sports here. I've been part of the sports scene all my life. I feel like I know what Tucson wants to talk about. We're going to have fun. I'm not sure you'll agree with me every day.
If nothing else, it'll make for a good sports talk. Be sure to tune into Eye on the Ball weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here on 1030 The Voice.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. One of the most humbling yet motivational lessons you can learn in life is how to reinvent yourself after rising to the top, falling down and hitting rock bottom, and then rising back up to living a new life with a better you. Let's continue our conversation with Edmond Marquez. Edmond is a native Tucsonan. He owns four Allstate insurance agencies in Tucson, which now makes up one of the largest Hispanic-owned agency groups in the U.S. But Edmond's inspiring story represents one of the most powerful lessons we can all learn, changing directions while you can.
Definitely self-reflection and being honest about it is really a key to being successful in life. Let me ask you this. Obviously, as we know, as the saying goes, we are what we repeatedly do. What are your success habits?
Man, that's a great question. That's a brilliant question, actually. It's funny, I talk about it with my team pretty often that we are a series of our habits. And so I'll take it back a step, which I think would be great for the listeners out there, especially if there's some Latinos out there that really want to strive to hit it out of the park. So I mentioned Jim Click. I'm around Clicker a lot. I call him Clicker. And, you know, I rode bikes with him when he was still riding prior to him crashing on Mount Lemmon one day. But so I learned that when I showed up for the group rides with Click's Inner Circle, and I'm the only Latino in that circle that was there, and I was so proud to be that guy. But every time the bikes pulled out of the parking lot, if you pulled up next to Mr. Click, you had him for 30 minutes. And that was a big deal. So the 30 minutes was, I didn't care about what he thought about the football game or the basketball game. What I cared about was, what was your dad like? What was your mom like? Why is your middle name Harley? What do you do with all your money? How do you own all these car dealerships? Like, I'm like picking his brain, like, oh my gosh. And so like 3 years into it, which will answer your question, I pulled up next to him and I said, Clicker, I want to tell you what I've learned from you over the last 3 years. And he kind of smirked and looked at me, and he said, yeah, go for it. And I said, great. But he said, number one in your life, you take care of you. You make sure you're healthy, you're happy, you're well-read, you're eating right, you're exercising, you know, you're really living the healthiest lifestyle, 8 hours of sleep. Like, you're concentrating on you, number one. Just like an airplane, when the masks fall and they say, put your mask on you first before you put on the other. He said, number two, you take care of your family. You can't take care of your family unless you have your act together. Make sure your family's living a healthy lifestyle. Are they sleeping? Are they eating? Are they eating good, healthy food? Are they exercising? Are they traveling? Are they reading? Are they investing in themselves? Number three is, you kick butt. I was about to say a bad word on the radio. You kick butt at whatever you do for a living. Whether you own a company or you're part of a company, you operate at the highest level you possibly can. Number four, as long as you have one, two, and three taken care of, you invest in your community, because that's where your family lives and it's where your business thrives. And I agree with that. And in regards to my own habits, I'm an avid cyclist. I get up 6 days a week and I work out. 4 days I ride my bike, usually 40 to 50 miles in the morning. And then the other 2 days, like today, I woke up and I ran. I run 2.3, 2.4 miles with my dog just to get my blood flowing. I'm a low-carb eater. I make sure that I really concentrate on my eye contact with my kids, my conversation with my wife. I make sure that I'm really working hard at my business. I'm making sure I'm giving back to my community. I'm very cognizant of introspective view of myself. And I also kind of look at in my mental picture, my personal financial statement, making sure that I'm building wealth and I'm building a comfortable life for myself and my family. That's a deep question. I mean, I could go for an hour in regards to habits, because habits are everything. Habits are everything. And we all have them.
And habits are exactly what builds success, so that we get used to doing the same thing every day. And so that our mindset starts to breed and nurture and really dream about what it is we want to achieve, so that we live it, breathe it, and then take action. Because words are just words, but action followed by all of our dreams is what helps us achieve, right?
Yeah. And you mentioned my dealership closing. So I had built up 10 companies, and the 10 companies, I was jamming. If you remember, I was driving a Ferrari. I was having a lot of fun. 2008 comes, I start losing $100,000 a month in my businesses. Like, we're just bleeding money.
And that's during the downturn, though.
Yeah. So it was the economy. And like, all of a sudden, I was still selling cars, but the banks weren't buying the deals. And in the end, long story short, which it could be a whole nother radio show, I was with Suzuki. Suzuki, too many dealerships were giving back their franchises. Japanese Suzuki told American Suzuki, no more. Like, we can't afford to buy back all these cars and parts and tools, etc. So I kind of got the short end of the stick from Suzuki. And I ended up being a couple $100,000 in debt to several million in debt after they kind of ran me through their Suzuki washing machine. But my point is, I learned so much more from failure than I've ever learned from success. And I know it's kind of a cliche, but I went from, and I was telling you yesterday on our Zoom, I went from driving a Ferrari to I couldn't even buy the groceries I needed to buy. And you know, people go, oh my gosh. And I'm like, yeah, I went from being on TV to like, I can't afford to feed my family. Like, I got the hell beat out of me. But I got to tell you, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. It's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Explain that, because I think that's really important for our listeners to hear that coming from you. Because we always hear the quote from Michael Jordan when he talks about, I miss more free throws in my life than I've made, but missing those free throws is what taught me how to make free throws under pressure when the game counted.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jordan was right, man. I love Michael Jordan. But anyway, yes, he's freaking amazing. And I always debate my son, Jordan versus LeBron, and it's not even a freaking debate, man. It's all about MJ.
Tell me about it. And the last dance was the best thing that's happened this summer.
Oh, gosh, it was so good, man. But anyway, so when I was running 10 companies and I was hanging out with you and I'm buying media, and I was lost, man. You don't see it at the time, but I was lost. So I was leaving the house in the morning before my family was awake. And I was coming home when my family was asleep. Yet I felt like, you know, in the Latino culture, it's about being macho, right? Like, I'm macho.
Yep.
I'm making a lot of money. My family's in a nice house. We're driving nice cars. Like, you know, I'm the man, right? No, I was empty. I was a suit filled with air, man. So I didn't help my wife raise the kids because I was so busy running the companies. I wasn't spending time with my wife. I wasn't telling her sweet nothings or holding her hand. I was at work, right? All I did was work. And I thought, well, that's the definition of being a man, right? I just worked. Yeah. So, but I just wasn't around. So like, I just was not a great father. I wasn't a great husband just because I wasn't present. I wasn't eating well. I mean, I lost 40 pounds from my dealership days. 40 pounds, man.
I remember that. You were a little gordito.
You're
looking great now.
Yeah, thank you. But I look like a Lego man. Like, I was just like this thick thing, man. And so I was 40 pounds heavier. I wasn't in great shape. I remember I'd bend over to tie my shoes and I would lose my breath a bit just because I had a panza. I was just thick. And I just was living an unfulfilled life. I was failing. Like, if you think about Click and the four areas, I was failing on me. I was failing on my family. I was scoring really high in the business, which is number three, and I was doing well with the community for all the boards and things I was serving on. I was getting awards, but I was failing in the number one and number two, which are the most important ones anyway, right? They say you can't take it with you at the very end. When you're dying, all that matters is that you know your relationship with your kids and your spouse, and they say if you die with one friend, you are a success. But I mean, I was just failing. So as my world went from noisy, right, to quiet, because I went from like having 30 employees down to one, I kind of had a moment of clarity, and I said to myself, okay, you know, you get to reinvent yourself. What do you want to do, man? Like, this is your chance. Like, there's no other down from here. Like, you're going to rebuild. I know you're going to rebuild, talking to myself. But what do you want to do? I said, well, I want to be one of those CEOs that works out in the morning. One of those CEOs that you see him eat and you're like, that's a responsible individual with their food. That's just a good guy. I got to be a better husband. I got to hang out with Wendy. I got to give her my time and my love. I mean, there's a reason why she married me, right? And I want to be able to provide for her a life, not just the material things, but of where she feels loved and supported. And then there's my kids. My gosh, it goes so fast. You know, think about anybody listening to the radio. If a year goes by for us, nothing. Who cares? A year went by. A kid's year go by, and he went from third grade to fourth grade, or went from senior year to college, or it's a defining moment in their lives, and I was missing out on these years. And so I started riding my bike. I started eating low-carb, healthy, you know, plant-based diet. I mean, this wasn't easy. I mean, it took me stumbling around for a little bit. I didn't have any money. I literally negotiated with a rental car company and got an inexpensive rental car, loaded my kids up, drove through Yellowstone, drove through Canada. We didn't have money, man, so we were, like, eating McDonald's value meal, like, every day, like, the dollar menu. And I had to be careful because I didn't want to gain weight, and I was trying to lose weight, and I'm eating, we had no money, man. Like, we were just eating, like, a hamburger just to get to the next city kind of thing. But you know what? My kids have now been all around the world. They've been to Vietnam and London and Tokyo and Rome. And that trip where we had no money driving in a car to Canada and then down the West Coast, that's the one they remember the most. But you know, as you reinvent yourself, you get to decide who you want to be and what you want to represent. And I got my act together. So as you rebuild, and I went back to my Allstate agency and I had to rebuild it, I got to rebuild it 10 times more intelligently than I did the first chapter. And so I just said, I'll be a better husband, better father. I'll be a better me. But I want to own one company. I don't want to own 10. And I want to be In-N-Out Burger. I don't want to be Cheesecake Factory. I just want to have one freaking company that I do really well with. And long story short, for anyone listening, I went back to a little tiny Allstate agency, starved for a year. I was lucky. I had made some really nice relationships in the community, and four individuals who are very wealthy in this community all approached me on their own at different times and said, you know, what's next? We all know you're going to rebuild. Like, what's next? And I said, well, I'm going to starve for a year with Allstate, and then I'm going to go buy another agency so I can afford to eat. And each one said, in their own way, starting with the first guy that walked in my office, and it wasn't Click, but he walked in my office and said, I'm in. I said, what are you in? Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, you're going to need money. I'll lend you some when you're ready. And so I've gone from little tiny Allstate agency to purchasing nine
more. This is a Bloomberg Money Minute.
At HD Metals, customer service, striving for excellence in delivering quality materials and products, and employee pride serve as our three core values. Owner Carlos Ruiz is a sixth-generation Tucsonan, invested in growing our community by growing your business.
HT Metals, Tucson's only distributor of custom-cut raw material From stainless steel to aluminum to hot rolled steel, since 2003, we've experienced tremendous growth by increasing capacity and attracting customers in the aerospace, medical, and electronic industries. Our two water jet machining systems further help us diversify our clientele.
HT Metals, locally owned and operated. We take pride in our community. Call 807-6157 to learn how we can help your business thrive.
Replacing your brakes can cost nearly $1,000 over the life of your vehicle. Or you buy it once, enroll it into the Total Car Care Guaranteed for Life program, and that's it. Forever. Seriously, buy it once and never purchase it again. Offered exclusively at MPG Tire and Auto. See program rules for details. This car care tip is brought to you by MPG Tire and Auto. Your vehicle's brake pads are the most important part for stopping your vehicle. The average lifespan of your vehicle's brake pads is between 2 to 3 years. Stop by any MPG Tire and Auto location and have your brakes inspected for free today.
The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood believes in being a strong advocate for the constitutional rights of the criminally accused. Attorney Haywood speaks for those who can't speak for themselves in both the state and federal systems in Arizona. Successfully defending clients and helping people achieve justice is what the Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood fights for. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney. She's an advocate for human rights, and she speaks Spanish fluently. Call the Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood at 792-0722.
It's your town. Get up and get involved.
Hey, it's Chris from Wake Up Tucson. Join us for the big Monday show. Full coverage, no really, of the Democrat National Convention. Mark Stegman, former TUSD school board member, and then economist Stephen Moore calls in from the swamp. Wake Up Tucson.
Weekday mornings, 6 to 9 on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. When it comes to upward mobility, Hispanics, and especially Hispanic immigrants, 75% think their own opportunities are better than most of their parents, and 75% think the future for the next generation will be better than their own lives are today. That's according to a CBS News New York Times poll taken this year. With that said, let's continue our conversation with Edmund Marquez, a successful business owner and influential community leader.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about the challenge of upward mobility. We mentioned it earlier. We talked about this in our Zoom meeting. But historically, each generation is supposed to be better off, more successful, richer than the one before. But what do you think we as Hispanics need to do to overcome the education gap, the income gap, to build a cycle of outperforming the last generation?
Well, you said the word education, and you know this. Education is the equalizer. Right? I think of my daughter, Alyssa, who's very, very smart and cunning. If she was born to another family, she'd be like, yeah, I don't want to go to college. I'm good. I'll go work. I just want to work and make money. I'll work and make money. I can do this on my own. There's something that's mandatory in my family. And we didn't go back, you know, multiple generations into Chihuahua, Mexico with this mentality. So if you're listening and your family doesn't have this mentality, start with you. And the mentality is, it is mandatory that you go to college. In my family, it's mandatory. So I at Sabino High School, I played football, soccer, track, baseball, theater, student council. I just didn't do homework. So I had like a 2.3. So my counselor, Latina, Yvonne Clay, who I love and I still see to this day, asked my parents one day, so what's Edmund going to do since he's not going to go to college? Because I had a 2.3 grade point average. My mom laughed. She laughed in the counselor's office. Oh no, that she said, quote unquote, that boy is going to college. That's just how it rolls. Education's the equalizer, Nunez, as you know. So whether it's, you know, whatever job you want to have, a bachelor's degree just gets you in the door. And if it, you know what? And I have a bachelor's degree and I have a business certificate from Stanford. Great, right? Education didn't make my career because I happen to have a good personality and I can sell, hence insurance, and I can take care of people. So if you're not going to be a salesperson in the city of Tucson, you better have yourself a degree, right? So education, if you're there and you want to talk upward mobility, mobility. Let's get a little deeper. Let's get more Latino for you. So besides education, you got to have your freaking education. Whether it's like me, I didn't get into U of A and I had to go to Pima first, which I love. And then I had to go to U of A in order to move on. Whether it's that route for you, fine. Whether it's, you know, all the way through Pima, whatever you can do to figure out a 4-year degree, fine. But it's also the mentality that you have. It's also the people you have around you. Right. So I've met with young Latinos at the U of A years later, and they just kind of wanted some mentoring. And they'd say, I'm really working my way through college. I understand I need my degree. My neighborhood hates on me. They tell me, why do you want to be better than us? Why do you want to leave us? Why do you think you got to be better than us and have a college education? You know, it's the old saying your mom would tell you when you grow up. You are who your friends are. You tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. Right. So at the same time, this is going to get really deep, and I don't know if I get in trouble on the radio or not. As Latinos, you have to be a chameleon in the white world. You have to be, right? I don't go around like, you know, trying to act as Latino as I can. Obviously, I'm Latino, and I'm what you'd call a purebred, I guess. I mean, we're all Latino. I am, both of my sides of my family come from Chihuahua, Mexico, period. But I also know that you have to survive in the general population. You do a great job. I mean, you it doesn't matter what room you're in. People like you, people love you, you're fun, you're high energy. You have to be a chameleon in a white world. So it is about getting the education. It is about surrounding yourself with the right people. It is becoming financially literate, where you know how to save your own money and or build wealth, or the old saying is you pay yourself before you pay others. You got to learn these things. And if you're not getting it from the people that are around you, go find new people. I mean, so most of my friends are in their 60s and 70s and they're white. And I learned so much from them. And if you don't have access, go read a book. Go read Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. Go buy and read The Millionaire Next Door. Go listen to it. I just got done reading, and I don't know if I told you that yesterday, I just got done reading Phil Knight's Shoe Dog, his autobiography. Like, read, educate yourself, because you're only on this planet once. And if the people around you are holding you back, go find new people. If you're like, well, it's not that easy, nothing's easy, right? It's not. If everyone is easy, everyone would freaking do it. But if it's tough, then it's worth doing. Go find yourself some great people. I'll go speak at certain events, and I'll be like, you know, if you want to go grab a coffee or a lunch or something, you just email me. Because if you don't have access to certain people, I'll have a conversation with you. And you'd be amazed the number of people that say, oh, can we go have a coffee? And I've met some amazing young Latino or white or Anglo African-American leaders that just want more from their lives. And sometimes it takes them, someone like me that's super blunt, that'll give them a nice swift kick in the nalgas and tell them, go dream bigger, man. I always tell my kids, which is an old magnet that was on my fridge when I was a kid, aim for the moon, and if you fall short, you'll land among the stars. But you got to at least aim for the freaking moon, right? And don't let Latino ever hold you back. If anything, it's a superpower, right? You have more flavor, more culture. You're probably better at dancing, right? Use it to your advantage, right?
So, and we're actually extremely fun in a group of people.
Yeah.
Within an audience.
Brilliant. Yeah.
You know, I found it's interesting you say that, because at first, when you're starting to move up and shake hands with, you know, non-Latinos in a room where you may be the only Latino, it can be very intimidating. But then you find yourself just like letting your genuine self come out, your real, true, your cultural self come out. And you find out that you actually can make it in that room. You may not make much money. You may not have the 10 degrees, but your value is extremely worth it.
Yeah, your value. So same thing I said in that video you did years ago. I said, age doesn't matter, race doesn't matter. And I know people can get mad at me hearing that, but age doesn't matter and race doesn't matter in the long run. What matters is the results you create, right? What matters is the value that you bring to the room. I just went to, and I know it'll be unpopular to some people listening, but today, this morning, I went to La Paloma. I was a guest of the Haidt Foundation, which is started by Noemi Haidt, whose husband was a police officer that got shot and killed in the line of duty, and she's created a foundation. I got invited by Noemi to go to a police officer event in which Vice President Pence was at. And I'll tell you, I was respected in the room from the police officers that I know, to the elected officials I know, to the Sheriff Napier, who I was hanging out with, to all the different, and there was respect. There's mutual respect, whether it's because they see me MC something, or I'm on the Rio Nuevo board, or I chair the United Way, or I insure them, whatever, right? But there's respect there. Never in that time did I stop and go, oh, I'm Latino here. No. I mean, was I the only Latino? No, I saw Fernando Gonzalez there, who's running for supervisor. So, but I don't think that way. You know, I don't think, am I the only Latino? I just say, what do I bring to this table? Like, what's my value? You know, I go into I go into rooms with young Latinos. I just spoke, heck, it was 2 months ago now. I did the graduation talk for Hispanic Leadership Institute, HLI. And I'm on this Zoom with all these kids, not kids held or whatever, like 20 years younger than me. But I said, I need you. I need you. I don't want to be a token Latino on a board. Right? I don't want them to check a box because I'm on the board. They want me on the board because I kick butt, right? Or I'm connected, or I can contribute financially, whatever. I don't ever want to click the freaking Latino box. But at the same time, like, if you look at like Southern Arizona Leadership Council, which I had to work my way into, and then I not only became a member, I became a board member. It's not like, if you look at SALC, Southern Arizona Leadership Council, it's not their job to go find Latinos to be on their board. It's the job of the Latinos to rise up in the community so that they qualify for the board. And that's a challenge, right? It shouldn't be, you know, some board needs some brown people, so let's go find some brown people so we can check a box. It should be the brown people are kicking so much butt that you're begging us to be on the board. That's what it should be.
We are talking to Edmond Marquez, a successful business owner and influential community leader.
My freedom is I want to be able to do whatever I want when I want, with whom I want. It's the definition of Warren Buffett. And that's kind of the success. It's not about I got a certain amount of money in the bank. Obviously, that matters, you know, so that you can do things you want. But it's about saying, Steve Nunez says, hey, man, let's go to London. Okay, let's go. That's success.
When we come back, we'll discuss Rio Nuevo and the balancing act of developing downtown versus gentrification to make sure Hispanics can also thrive in the barrio in which they live. Tucson's Hispanic Voices. A special thank you to our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. HT Metals, growing our community by growing your business. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights. And theme music for Tucson's Hispanic Voices, composed by native Tucsonan Gabriel F. Romo.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back.
Adopt from the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, and you'll save more than one pet. You'll also make room for the next pet in need. Adopting from the Humane Society is different. We have healthy, loving pets in clean facilities, a stress-free environment, and knowledgeable staff to help you find the right pet for your family. Open daily at 635 West Roger Road. Learn more and see pets online at hssaz.org.
Have you been to a Burlington lately? They have unbelievable deals on amazing brands and styles at up to 60% off other retailers' prices. No coupons or sales, just fabulous values every single day. It's a treasure hunt with new bargains arriving all the time and savings that'll surprise you. At Burlington, you get more for less, whether it's back to school, work, or just back. Now more than ever, you'll love the deals. You'll love Burlington.
The 2020 election marks the first time in history that Latinos will be the largest minority, with 32 million eligible voters. Issues like healthcare, immigration, and education have never been more important. That's why it's vital that your voice be heard. That's the goal of Aquí Se Vota, to help Latinos determine the life we want for our families and community, and to not let anybody else decide our present nor our future. We want to educate all Latinos on how to vote simply and safely in November. To find out how to help, visit AquíSeVota.com.
Hey Tucson, it's me, Dave Ramsey, on 1030 The Voice. Tired of being normal? Normal is living paycheck to paycheck. Normal is student loans and credit cards. On my show, we'll teach you to be weird. We teach you how to live on less than you make, save for a rainy day, pay off debt like there's no tomorrow. Normal stinks. Weird is awesome. It's The Dave Ramsey Show. Weekdays live at 1 on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
When you think of one of the past biggest failures in Tucson, two words come to mind: Rio Nuevo. In 1999, voters overwhelmingly passed Rio Nuevo. The idea was to use taxpayer money to revitalize downtown and pay for redevelopment and cultural projects to pump new business and tourism into the heart of our city. The problem? City leaders took over Rio Nuevo, which wasn't supposed to be the case. By some estimates, the city squandered about $230 million of taxpayer money. By 2010, a state auditor general's report charged the city with mismanagement and neglect, but the audit claims it never found anything criminal. Finally, the state stepped in, took control, and appointed a new Rio Nuevo board made up of members appointed by the House, Senate, and governor. Today, Rio Nuevo is doing exactly what it was designed to do: revitalize downtown. We continue our conversation with Edmund Marquez. He also serves on the board of Rio Nuevo.
Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about Rio Nuevo. Obviously, given the fact that Rio Nuevo has been a source of controversy since voters passed it in 1999, let's bypass all of that and focus on all of the positives. And trust me, I know about all of this because I grew up downtown. As a kid, I've seen its death. As an adult, I'm finally, thank God, witnessing its revival. Now, when you drive through downtown today, it appears to be a reflection of the past. It's kind of sad because there's no movement there, but a lot of businesses that are closed, obviously due to the coronavirus pandemic. But if you look up above the storefronts, you'll see a lot of construction cranes lining the skyline. Tell us all about the positive projects taking place that's changing Tucson as we speak.
So I'll start with a positive sentence, and I will go back in history just a little bit so people get it. Right now, Rio Nuevo, and I'm one of six board members. I'm appointed by Governor Ducey. I serve at the pleasure of Governor Ducey. Right now, we have $350 million worth of projects going on downtown. In the midst of COVID, $350 million, including $65 million going into the Tucson Convention Center right now, plus the DoubleTree Hotel that's going up in the parking lot that you can see standing there at this very moment. It's up. They're just doing the finishing touches. Our parking garage just went up. We're about to put a 12-story building at 75 East Broadway, along with a Latino developer, Marcel Dabdoub. There is so much going on, and there's so much to be excited for with downtown. The only reason you're seeing that little bit of a hiccup is COVID. And even in the midst of COVID, we're still going strong. If you see the Sunshine Mile, which is between Euclid and Country Club on Broadway, we at Rio Nuevo own 40-plus properties in that area, and we've brought in a world-renowned company called Project for Public Spaces to come in and help us reimagine the Broadway corridor so that it's something that you want to go visit, to go get a coffee, listen to some music, go shopping. Like, we're going to really build out that corridor, kind of like a Palm Springs type feel to it. But just to go back a step for those of you, especially you that grew up downtown, we are Rio Nuevo 3.0. 1.0 was back in 1999 when the city of Tucson ran Rio Nuevo, and unfortunately, quote unquote, spent over $200 million without a lot to show for it. State of Arizona came in and was upset. And the reason why State of Arizona was upset, what Rio Nuevo is a TIF district, tax incremental financing district. What that means in simple language is of all the sales tax generated in our district, which is downtown, and then all the way down Broadway to Wilmont, looks like a big like a thermometer, we get to keep in easy math, half of the state sales tax generated within that district. City of Tucson keeps their portion. We get half of the state. And so what we use with those dollars is we reinvest those dollars for economic development. Pretty simple. So Rio Nuevo 1.0 is the city who blew through $200 million. State of Arizona comes in and creates Rio Nuevo 2.0, which is a state-appointed board from the Speaker of the House, President of the Senate, and the Governor. They each appoint three, which is nine board members. We only have six. There's some spots open, but I don't think they're going to fill them. But Rio Nuevo 2.0 was state-appointed. Lots of lawsuits happened. They were trying to figure out whose assets were whose liabilities were whose, after City of Tucson kind of didn't do a great job keeping track of the expenditures, et cetera. It was too litigious. So then Mr. Click, along with Steve Pierce, who was the president of the Senate at the time, said, let's rebuild this into 3.0 and make sure that we're taking care of the state dollars while getting a maximum bang for our buck and investment from the city of Tucson. From our area. And 3.0 was created. Fletcher McCusker came in as our board chair. Mark Irvin came in. Mark actually stayed over from number two, from Rio Nuevo 2.0. Janny Cox is there. I got brought in. Jeff Hills brought in. Chris Sheaves brought in. And 3.0 is a CEO board. We are a CEO board. We look for return on investment. We look for, if I'm going to take a Steve Nunez sales tax dollar, I'm going to be very protective of it, and I'm going to make sure I invest it looking for return on investment. And the good part is I'm not an elected official, so you can't influence me either way. The neighborhoods can't influence me. A business developer can't influence me because I don't need your vote later. And I don't need your contribution later because I'm appointed by the governor. So I literally think about the greater good, and I think about what's the best way I can invest these dollars to get the biggest bang for the city that we love. And that's the same thing with the rest of the Renewable Board. And we literally have found ways with not a ton of money. I mean, we have invested like $30 million, but it's not like we have the $200 million that the city of Tucson had. And we look to for ways to leverage our dollars with a public-private partnership in which the developer comes in. And the developer might say, you know, hey, Renewable, I want to build a hotel. And we say, great. Well, hotels don't generate sales tax. And the developer says, the first floor will. You know, I'm gonna have restaurants, I'm gonna have shops, I'm gonna generate sales tax. Okay, you can play ball with us. And we might put in like $1 million as a bridge loan, and then we have an opportunity to abate the property tax for up to 8 years on the property, and then we give rebates back on the sales tax that they generate. So using those three tools, we've hit it out of the park. When our last audit, the audit company said, we believe Renewable is one of the most successful TIF districts in the entire country. That's how far we've come.
I know part of Rio Nuevo's vision is for Tucson to be like other cities like Austin, Portland, and San Diego, and that's part of the vision. But how can we achieve this goal yet maintain affordability so people, especially Hispanics who have lived downtown, grown up downtown their entire lives, like myself, can continue to afford to live downtown?
That's a tough question, man. I mean, I think the fiscal side of me will have to answer that. So that's called gentrification?
Yes, it is.
It's also just simply called building an economy. So what's the alternative? The alternative is let's not build downtown and keep the rents low. Let's not invest in the Fox Theater. Let's not invest in the TCC. Let's not start Sugar Skull football or Roadrunner hockey. Let's just keep it quiet so the rents stay low. I don't think that's the best economic strategy. I think you have to continue to invest in a downtown. If you travel to any city, you know, whether it's East Coast, West Coast, you're primarily going to go to their main area or their downtown. And based on how their downtown is, you can almost see whether or not that community is healthy. So I don't know, man. I mean, I guess if I'm working hard and I'm achieving and the rents are a little higher and I get to go live downtown, but I get so much value out of it from the theaters to the music to the restaurants to the TCC to the sports, et cetera, that's just part of the economy. I'm cognizant and sensitive to the fact that it used to be the barrio. I get it. I just think as economies grow, we all have to kind of work together, but the rents will go up. I mean, that's just kind of the reality of it all.
Well, let's hope we can find a happy marriage between the two to make sure that Latinos aren't being forced out and we can have a diverse downtown with residents from different economic backgrounds to cultural backgrounds all living together and making the entire downtown flourish like it used to back when our parents were kids.
Yeah, and I mean, we've invested in the Mission Garden. We're having conversations about investing in there's a new Hispanic Latino museum on the grounds of the TCC. So, you know, we are definitely cognizant of it. At the same time, you know, some of the developers are Latinos and they're developing hotels and restaurants and it'll continue to flourish. But I'm with you. Obviously, we want to be inclusive and we want to make sure that everyone can take part of it and enjoy our downtown. I'm just being realistic in regards to, yeah, rents will go up, cost to lease space will go up. It's just going to become a more and more popular area.
All right, before we go, I have a rapid fire of questions I'd like to ask you. It's all about being a native Tucsonan, growing up here in Tucson. Are you ready? Güero Canelo or BK's?
Oh, that's rude, man. That's so rude. That's so rude.
Come on.
I gotta go Güero all day long, man. We go to Güero, like, that's our treat. Like, on a weekend, we go to Güero, so I gotta go Güero.
Here's another rude one. Sonoran okay. Hot dogs or Pat's chili dogs?
Oh, man. That's my wife's West Side, but I'm going to go Sonoran hot dog at El Güero all day long.
Yep. I agree with you on that. Man, I can
there
eat Güero Canelo hot dogs all the time. By
oh,
the way, Güero Canelo, he's an awesome person. He's funny as heck.
He is funny. What a great guy.
Yep.
He's done so well. And, you know, if you think about the business side of him, he's stayed true to himself. He's really built out some fun restaurants and some great spaces. But he's into vertical integration. Like, if you're eating tomatoes chopped up on top of his Sonoran dog, he grew the tomatoes. Like,
yeah.
He's literally investing in the farms that create his product. That's a smart man. Smart man. He's done a great job.
All right. Raspados or EG's?
Oh, man. I used to be the director of promotions for EG's. My kids love the raspados. I'll be very un-Latino and say I don't really enjoy them. I'll go EG's all day long.
All right. Your first girlfriend?
My first girlfriend? Gosh,
did you make out with her up on a mountain? Just kidding. Just kidding. Just
no.
Kidding.
I'm East Side, man. It was like the base of Mount Lemon.
You know, I was just kidding on that one.
Great,
I just
man.
Wanted to make you laugh on that one. Wendy, I love you. You know, I'm just kidding.
Great.
I'm not trying to disrespect.
Thank you.
Hey, Edmund, I just want to thank you for being on Tucson's Hispanic Voices and being a part of this radio show and always supporting me, being my friend, being a mentor to me, even though you're younger than me. But thank you. God bless you. Hope you and your family stay safe and healthy, especially your parents. I love them.
Amen. Amen. And you and for those of you who have never met my dad or maybe even seen Steve Nunez, but he looks more like my dad than I do. So there you go, man.
That is
you're
a running
like
joke. And what's
dad.
Funny is the last photo we took, me and your dad, and yeah, he looks more.
You guys are like
I
twins.
Look more like your dad than you do. Way more.
You do. So I'll call you hermano from now on. My dad's a love child.
All right, brother. Thank you, man.
Party down the west side. All right, thank you. And thanks for doing this radio show. Congratulations on the show. It's going to be a huge success.
I hope you enjoy Tucson's Hispanic Voices. My goal is to tell stories of success by giving voice to Hispanics and bringing diversity into the conversation. This also includes talking about local politics, music, food, art, and culture, and share those stories through the lens of how Hispanics see everyday life in Tucson. Tucson's Hispanic Voices, a special thank you to our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. HT Metals, growing our community by growing your business. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights. And theme music for Tucson's Hispanic Voices, composed by native Tucsonan Gabriel F. Romo. Tucson's Hispanic Voices, Saturday mornings from 10 to 11 on KBOI 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Nunez. See you on the radio next week.